is because, you know, we've been talking about a great falling away from the church. We've been talking about, you know, certain scriptures and a wolf in sheep's clothing and how, you know, people are going to deceive you, mm-hmm. you know. And I'm thinking that this pastor has a lot of followers, and he's been on the radio for a long time. He's mm-hmm. been a pastor and on the radio for a long time. Mm-hmm. And people really believe him. But in this particular call-in, you know, the man was very respectful. Mm-hmm. And he said, he was trying to say that there are things in the Old Testament that we still have to do, even though they're in the Old Testament. That doesn't mean that everything is under the law.
Or even if it was, and the Lord fulfilled it, we are still obligated. We are still obligated. He said these were the weightier matters. This is more important than the tithes. We are still obligated to do judgment and mercy and faith. We are still obligated to do these things. But when it comes to not paying tithes, can I say that a person will lose out as far as salvation? I can't say that. But I am thoroughly convinced that when it comes to certain blessings, they will miss out. And they will miss out because usually the spirit in which a person refuses to pay tithes is one of selfishness.
Well, I just brought it up because I think everybody should be on their toes about, you know, who they're listening to, who they're sitting, you know, whose ministry they're sitting under, mm-hmm. who are they, you know, you need to pray about certain things and look at the scripture for yourself.
Right, because it's not so much a person who's too poor to pay tithes. We're talking about a person who can but refuses to pay tithes. You know, and there are people who say, well, it's not meant, but they go and just blow money on silly, foolish things. But they have a begrudging spirit if they have to contribute a quarter. I've seen it with my own eyes. A person put, I think it was either 10 cents or a quarter, and it just did something to them to have to drop that in the offering basket. And I said, wow. And yet they struggle financially.
Well, anyway, I'm not going to belabor this topic. I just wanted to tell everybody to pray about things, you know, that you hear. Read this and right. study the scripture for yourself.
Right.
Ask the Lord for a revelation. Mm-hmm. Of the scripture, and pray about certain situations. You want to make sure that you're doing the right thing according to the will of God.
Right, because the Lord let them know. He said, these things you ought to have done. And then he said, and not to leave, that's the less weightier matters, and not to leave the other, the less weightier matters, undone. Because in business, be men. You know, your lights don't run on of air. I mean, yeah. don't pay your utility bills and see
what happens.
Yes.
Don't pay property taxes and right. see what happens.
And I wonder, in this person who contributes to his church, if he doesn't do tithes, but if he does like some churches, they require a certain fee, a certain amount that a person has to pay based upon their income. Well, that they have to contribute towards the church. I wonder how he does
just
it.
Talks about being a cheerful giver.
Oh, yeah.
He's a giver.
You have to pay your tithes. Just cheerfully give me your
I'm
money,
I'm not
though.
Telling you how much to give. I'm not telling you.
But give till it hurts.
Anyway, moving on. Another thing I had a question about. In Revelation 21, starting at verse 1 to 4, it says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." Mm-hmm. And then it goes on to say, And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, nor for the former things are passed away." Now, you see this in 2 Peter chapter 3, 13, and it says, "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. And then in Isaiah 66:22, it says, for as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And then there's another scripture in Isaiah 65:17, and it says, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. Okay. So I want to know, what is a new earth going to be like?
I don't know. Whatever the Lord, however he does it, we know that there will be no sun, because the Lord is going to be the light.
And there's not going to be any sea.
Right, because the sea represents nations, and it represents, in a sense, division and turmoil. So he's saying there will be no more sea. There will be no more division. There will be no separation.
So it doesn't mean that there isn't going to, it means that there still is going to be water?
Oh, yeah. I believe so.
So I was thinking, is it going to be just like this?
I don't
Only
think so.
Only everybody righteous?
No, I don't. A new one. No, it's going to be.
A new one in the sense like, the other thing, then I was thinking maybe it could be like the Garden of Eden?
Yeah, but better. Like the Garden of Eden, but even better. You know, and it's hard because he's saying it. We can't even begin to imagine, you know, what the Lord has in store for us, because everything that we have to make reference on is what we see here. That's how the Lord made us. So everything that we base our imagination on is based upon things that we have experienced here.
So I can't imagine what a new heaven could be like.
Right, right. Without a sun that to smite you or to have. Don't have to worry about night. There is no night.
But a heaven. I mean, I think that's where...
He put an S on the end. In every one of those scriptures is heavens. You know, so the Lord...
No, not in Revelation. No. A new heaven and a new earth. The other ones have heavens.
Right.
So you're saying that's... What are you saying?
That I believe they're just different levels. You know, a different, just like he said, even in the beginning, the Lord made the heaven and the earth. I just think that there's more out there. There's so much more that we have no idea about. And then he said, just like he said now, there's nothing new under the sun. He said, but the things that were before us, we don't even recognize it because it's just like it was before us. So we have no idea. But there's nothing new under the sun. So here he's saying the former things, like this earth, we're not even going to remember it.
So we're not going to remember what is here.
Right. As far as the suffering, the pain, it's going to be...
wiped away, gone.
Yeah, non-importance. It's not going to be anything that we're going to even be concerned with.
You can imagine what hell will be like.
Torment.
Because some people have... near-death experiences, and they talk about how demons are torturing people, and
but I
went to the scriptures and I said, you know, the devil gonna be tormented too. Mm-hmm. So how is he going to be tormenting people?
Because and people have to realize, hell is the absence of the presence of God. So you are in total darkness, pain, no hope. You know, no faith, without grace.
Well, I guess it's clear it's not going to be this earth.
And in his anger, which is his wrath.
It's not going to be this earth.
It's going to be a new, it'll be this earth, but he'll make it brand new. As being God, he'll just take what is and just renew it.
Well, anyway, moving on. Now, keep in mind about the great falling away, how people in their heart are turning further and further and further away from the Lord. And they think things are just so funny. Someone sent me this article. It came from the Premier Christian News, and it says a pastor was saying that church should be fun. as he kicks the Bible off of a stage.
What an idiot.
Crossroads Church in Ohio, with a congregation of 34,000 people, made the headlines with their Super Bowl Sunday sermon, which included kicking a Bible off the stage.
You know, they just... their spirit
in the
is just
sermon,
so antichrist.
The church pastors incorporated American football-themed elements into their service, including a symbolic punt of a Bible.
And what does that mean, a symbolic punt? What does the punt represent?
I mean, in a lively...
what spiritual significance and representation did they get out of kicking the Bible?
In a lively spectacle reminiscent of a football game, senior pastor Brian Tomei and Pastor Ali Patterson, dressed up in football tops, engaged in a pre-game coin toss.
He also rolled the wrecking ball. So what in the world
after
does that
Tomei
have to do with
won
football?
The flip, the referee asked, would you like to kick or receive the Bible? And he said, I will receive. And Patterson then took a few steps back, and as another pastor squared up
the Bible, which had
a football-style book cover, before kicking it off the stage into the crowd. Patterson then high-fived her colleague in celebration.
They're just silly. That's almost beyond stupidity.
The scene complete with play-by-play commentary, a referee, and stage tackles over the Bible drew a mix of reactions. While some found it entertaining, others expressed concern over using such symbolism in a sacred context.
Do they not realize, Lord said to Paul, it's hard for you to kick against the prick. It's very hard. So then they kick the word of God. Mm-hmm. You would think somebody would have been spiritual enough to say, I don't think we should do that, Pastor. Mm-hmm. Do you think somebody should have been spiritual? Or did they just say, oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, they'll love it. And maybe he got the applause of the people. Maybe the people really, the majority of them thought it was funny. But that doesn't mean God is pleased. I don't believe the Lord is pleased with them kicking, putting their foot and kicking the word of God.
I don't think so either. And I just...
something's wrong with these people.
So I don't know what the purpose was.
And it was packed. I mean, it was jam-packed.
So 34,000 people in this church, what are they doing? Are their hearts, how close to God are they in their hearts?
As close as the Super Bowl.
I don't
get that. So not very close.
I don't get that. I don't know. But
matter of fact, they punted it away.
Yeah. That's just ridiculous.
But we have been talking about the great falling away.
Yes.
And these are all examples of what...
people falling away.
In the present day.
Right.
And
in the present day, they count salvation with having a huge membership. But if they're not saved, you can't get a prayer through. There's no deliverance. There's no souls coming to the Lord. They just might as well rent out a hall and call it a nightclub.
Yeah,
now, people.
Yeah, I remember our pastor, she said, I'd rather have a precious few than a church full of devils.
Right.
But people think that it's funny. People think that God is such a merciful God. He's so forgiving. He's not going to think too much about that.
I know they actually think it and believe it. I know this one person, she made a comment, and she said, or it might have been a man, he said that when he was in a church similar to this one, he said he actually thought that he was saved. He said, but he got to such a low level spiritually that the Lord began to deal with him. He said he had not only had to leave the church, he said, I had to leave the state.
Yeah, well, we'll have to continue next week with a lot of nonsense that's going on in the world.
Yes, praise the Lord, and let everything that have breath praise the Lord. This week's verse of the day comes from Joshua 22:5. But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Now, ain't God all right? God is all right.
Praise the Lord. Last week's food for thought was... what is not in good taste or acceptable for a fool? And the answer is honor. And that answer can be found in Proverbs chapter 26, verse 1. And it reads, as snow in summer and as rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool. This week's food for thought is, what are the crown of old men? So what do you think old men are crowned with? Hint, the Bible. And that's food for thought.